I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the MVP Show. My intention is that you listen to the stories of these MVP guests and are inspired to become an MVP and bring value to the world through your skills. If you have not checked it out already, I do a YouTube series called How to Become an MVP. The link is in the show notes. With that, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Dallas-Fort Worth in the US of A. She's a senior BC consultant. She was first awarded her MVP in 2023. She is experienced as an end user partner and consultant. Her mission is to empower companies to get the most out of NAV and Business Central by bridging gaps, identifying needs and configuring solutions, and providing training and support. You can find links to her bio in the show notes for this episode, as well as any social channel that she is operating on. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, you've only been an MVP for a wee while. Did you get a chance to go to the MVP Summit recently?
I did not. Just too busy at the moment.
Too busy? That's for a lot of people, right? There's a lot going on, right? So I understand that. Before we unpack your story into technology and running your own company and everything Business Central and our vision on NAV, tell us a bit about food, family, and fun. What do they mean to you in your part of the world?
Oh, yes. I have a big family. I'm one of 10. And so, yeah, lots of brothers and sisters and cousins. And then I have four kids. I can't call them kids anymore. My youngest is 30. So, grandkids. In fact, I've got a granddaughter in the other room right now. It's getting together as often as we can, which in Texas is a little bit hard. I'm in Fort Worth. Two kids are down in Houston. One's in Austin and one's local, but you know, so everybody's kind of all across the state and it's a big state, so it takes a while to do the drives. But fun is outdoors as much as possible, right? Going to the lakes and all that good stuff. I grew up in the country, so feeding chickens and riding horses and things like that. And food, all kinds of food is good, especially Mexican food in Texas. So... Yeah.
You make me feel hungry. I thought I came from a big family. I'm one of seven siblings, and you've definitely topped that, right? So that's amazing. And I grew up rurally as well, and so know what it means to feed chickens. And interesting. Tell us about how you got into tech. How did you transition from that rural lifestyle to one of technology and one in ultimately in Business Central with Microsoft?
You know, it's really funny. I was on my last semester of college and I took a introduction to data processing. It happened to be a business basic programming class and I loved it, but I was on my last semester and ready to get out. Right. So, I did, and, I didn't go back, but it was also a time where a lot of computers were going into businesses. And I happened to get into a business when Ford Motor Company started selling systems to their dealers. And I was with one of the very first that we put in. The funniest story I have of that, and I have to share this. I did something on the keyboard one day. I don't even know what I was doing, but it came up and it said, "Shut her down, Clancy. She's a pumping mud."
Wow.
And I thought, I've broke this brand new computer system oh my gosh, I literally yanked the door open to this special room, you know, keep the computer cool. I don't know what I thought I would see. And so I called Ford and I told them, they're like, no, no, no. Years later, I'm actually working on a nav system in Louisiana. And I told the story. And one of the people there said, I know the developers who put that in. It wasn't ever supposed to leave development, right? It was just it was something they put in to catch an error, and they forgot to take it out. But so it kind of went from there, you know, in having seen that programming. I have a knack for numbers, so I did a lot of accounting. I got into nav kind of haphazardly. When nav was first coming to the US, it was actually, I think, called Avista. And a company out of Houston said, hey, I was doing some just consulting for them. And they said, would you look at this? These people keep calling me and they want me to sell this. And I don't even have time to look at it. So he said, spend an hour. So I looked at it and I said, you know, if you don't start selling this, I think I will. I was so impressed with it. And so he signed up. He was the eighth company in the U.S. to start selling the system. And a few months later, Navision came to Houston and trained about four companies. And I happened to get trained. I hate to tell you how long ago that was.
I know. How long ago was that?
It was in January of 1996. Yeah. So I'm starting my 29th year of working on the product. And it's, you know, it's been such a great product, and we've always been short resources, right? So I learned development, I learned implementation, because you had to kind of learn it all because nobody else out there knew it. And so, you know, salespeople are out there selling it and people are saying, help, help. And so that's kind of how I got into it. And it was really probably 7-8 years later where they started trying to get together a user group. And as soon as I found out about it, by that time I was an independent consultant. And then I went to work for an end user, and I found out about it then. And so I got involved and started helping organize meetings and things like that. And lo and behold, I started speaking, which I can talk a lot. I've never been one to stand up in front of people and talk, but I learned that. And I've been involved with the BC Nav user group really since about 2005. And, you know, we helped put on Summit. We used to do a lot of local chapters. It's just fun to help people. You know, they struggle with the software. They, you know, and you can say, oh, just go do this. And their eyes light up and they get a big smile. And, you know, it makes it worth it to help people like that. So, and I guess I went to a session where a bunch of ladies talked about just being women in tech, right? And one of them had said, you know, I want to see more female MVPs. And she was like one of either the first or the second female MVP in kind of the NAB Business Central space. And somebody came up to me and I said, you know, I really need to do that. They said, you're not already an MVP. And I said, no. And she said, well, you're going to be. And so she helped me. I'd never done a blog before, which I totally enjoy. I try to find something that I don't know about and go learn about it and then write up what I learned and do screenshots and try to help people. And so I've learned a lot. And I think that's the thing. When you're helping others, you learn, right? Because you may not know the details of something till you dig in to try to help somebody else. So it's a win-win for me, you know, to help others and also do this. So, yeah. So I could talk about this for a very long time.
This is awesome. This is awesome. How big do you think the community is in NAVBC now, that just in your sphere that you've engaged with?
So to give you some background, we did a our very first kind of get together, trying to bring people together, was in Vegas. I don't even remember what year now. And I think there were maybe 50 people there. Mm-hmm. This year, we're expecting, and last year, actually, we had 5,500 people. Now, I have to say that's not just BC, because we bring all the user groups, right? GP, F&O, CRM, Power Platform. So because there's users that cross over a lot of those, they're using one or two of the products, and they all have needs. They all want to know more and get more out of their system. But I think we probably hit 800 to 1,000 of that 5,500, maybe a little more. So, and there's a lot of times where it's a lot of new people, right? So I don't know. I think the user group probably pushes a couple thousand, in North America.
Tell me your thoughts on the journey between NAV, BC. There seemed to be a bit of a tumultuous time in that transition back in the day. And I observe from outside, because I'm not a consultant that works in that space, but I work for a company that has about 6,000 consultants working across BC projects globally. And so, and it was actually interviewing an MVP inside my business in that space that I realized how big a deal BC has become. As in, you know, there's been a separation for a long time. Microsoft is kind of more marketed F&O, because that's for the enterprise. And then I'm seeing these massive enterprise deployments, global deployments using BC end to end. So it's obviously has the capability to serve that end of the market.
You know, it really is scalable, and not as much as F&O, but it is scalable. You know, when I first saw BC, I was like, I can do that. You know, it's not that much difference. I can see it. And then I got in there and I was like, where is everything? Because in NAV, you had these little pictures at the top of your menu, and I'm very visual, so it was easy for me, right? Then I get to Business Central and they're not in the same places. And when I first got in the earlier versions, we had three places where it was called Navigate, and there was one in NAV. So when you wanted to navigate, you went to that one, and now we had three choices. I did a session with a friend, and what we did was we compared the user interface. Here's what it looks like in BC. Here's what it used to look like in NAV, and what are the differences? And when we put that together, it really helped me. And so I've shared that with so many people going, this will help you make the connection. And we talked about the great Navigate debate. Why are there so many? And since then, they've changed the terminology some, which has really helped users. So it's a very different user interface. But what I see is that people who are new to the product, they didn't come from NAV, but they just installed BC. They take to it so fast because it makes sense. Some of the stuff NAV did was maybe a little old school, or maybe it was written in Denmark. And there's different communication, right? We all speak differently. But this interface, and with telemetry that they're using, they're looking at what things do people click on all the time, right? And they're adjusting that user interface to put those front and center so you don't have as many clicks to go do things. And I think that's a really big thing for a lot of users. I find it really helpful. I'm like, oh, it's right here. And to be able to show users that. The ability for users to quickly adjust their screens to what they want to see is also super powerful. And they just added so many shortcut tools, but tools to let me adjust the data. The analyze views where we have pivot tables in Business Central, people just, their eyes, you know, light up, and the data that they can get to. I've always felt like we had a lot of data that we could get to, but now how do we present it? How do we show it? And we're getting more and more of that, which is exciting.
I like it.
Yeah.
In the next 12 to 24 months, what excites you most about this period that we're going into?
Well, I didn't think I would have probably had this answer 3 or 4 months ago, but it's really co-pilot with AI. We have something coming out in, I guess, next month already, yeah, 24, wave one, for bank reconciliations where, because I was always like, how are we going to use AI in an ERP system? What's it going to do for us, right? And we started seeing it with some, we can do, you know, descriptions, and we can do a formal description or, you know, a modern description and some of those kinds of things. So it's like, yeah, that's great, but how am I going to use it? And when we start seeing, oh, well, we can match things in a better way with the analytical tools, the language, large language sets, the language interpretations, the ambiguities that language has, and just simple matching that AI can do over writing, you know, a from scratch algorithm, and to really see that in action to make my job easier as a finance person, right? Or as a budgeting person, or even as a scheduler in manufacturing, what do I need to buy for inventory? I think that's going to be exciting for all users. To right now, we're limited to what's been built in. And with AI, we're going to stretch that. We're going to be able to do more. And that's just astounding. I'm so excited. I can't wait for some of it. Yeah. And we're doing Microsoft is doing a lot from a reporting standpoint too, because that's always a thing people are wanting, right? More ability to do reporting.
And is the reporting pretty much Power BI, or does it have its own reporting surface built in?
Well, it does have reporting built in. And I think there's layers of reporting, right? So there's going to be the operational reports that need to reside in the product, right? Your invoice, your production order, simple things like that. And then there's a layer, maybe more for mid-management. I'm working on collections or payments or something like that. And then there's kind of executive, you know, higher level reporting. And I think we're going to see different kinds of tools for each of those layers. It's not going to be something that happens overnight. You said like 18 to 24 months. We're going to continue to see improvements, putting more power in users' hands for those different tiers. That's exciting. I really think users are going to embrace that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And where do you see the Power Platform coming into the BC story?
Well, you know, it's already being used a lot. We see people creating forms where they can put those on portals and let customers and vendors set up things or view things, give them power to do something versus making a phone call or sending an email. We use Power Platform a lot for implementations to extend workflows. I don't think you'd ever build all the workflows that people can dream up in their organizations. So that will continue to grow. I wish I knew more about Power BI and Power Platform. But I spend so much of my time in the product, training on the product, helping people with setups and things like that, that I never kind of find the time to do those. But I do see those just extending more and more the power of the product. And people use it all the time right now. It's amazing what we're seeing people do with Power Platform and Power BI.
Yeah. So my final question, tell me your thoughts on the MVP program.
It was like reaching the summit of Mount Everest for me. I walked around, I think, on cloud 9 4 days. I it does allow me to, I think, speak with more confidence. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, but once you hit that and other people recognize what you've put in and your level of knowledge on the product, people look at you like, this is somebody who knows what they're talking about. So you better do your homework, right? Know what you're speaking about. I was a little disappointed that I wasn't a little more involved with what things were being considered for the next release or in doing more testing of a release. And we've actually started conversations with Microsoft about that. And they're like, we should definitely have our MVPs doing that. So I think it was just somebody saying, hey, we could help. Right. And so they were very receptive. I feel like I've never wanted to be the person who reached out all the time and asked a million questions of Microsoft personnel because they're always so busy. But I feel like now, and I still don't want to reach out every day, which I could, but you know, to when you really have something to say, I think there's a more openness to listen because you've put forth that effort to raise yourself up and help others that maybe they want to, you know, they want to hear what you have to say. So I think it's a great program. I have no problem with the fact that you have to keep up with it, right? I'm doing my first renewal and saying, you know, gosh, did I do enough last year, right? You know, I do some two or three things every month, but is that enough? And I think writing my blog, I'm finding that I'm providing a link to my blog for different people going, you asked me how to do, you know, ACHs here in the United States. It's out there on my blog. You want to know how to close your year? I've got a blog for it. So that kind of thing has really helped the community as well. I'm also one of the BC3 Amigos. We have a podcast. We're not as nice as your podcast, but we just get together. There's three of us and we just talk about issues, right? And one of the things we talked about was AI. How do we see AI really being used? And like I said, 4 months ago, we were like, I don't know. I don't see where it's going. And that's all of a sudden changed. So, yeah, I'm still on cloud nine half the time to be able to put MVP behind my name.
It's so cool. So that's the Three Amigos podcast. I've seen it. You guys seem to have a lot of fun on there, a lot of joking around, and I checked it out on YouTube. So make sure if you're listening to this, go and take a look if you're in that BC or NAV space. Kim, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Totally enjoyed it, Mark.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If you like the show and want to be a supporter, check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 Guy. Thanks again, and see you next time.